Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
If you're not online, go ahead. You can get online right now to bestlifechurch.org/activity, and you can actually in services to come, you can view the same slides that we're looking at behind me. You can actually see them on your phone, on your devices, and when you get home you can also look at them there too. And there will be things on what we call the digital bulletin that are actually, there'll be more content on those than we actually may go through in the service. So we're kind of fine-tuning these things and working on making them better every week. So just to make you aware of that, bestlifechurch.org/activity, and it'll give you the ability to look at these slides on your devices and also at home on your own private time. And again, there'll be further material on the digital bulletin that we don't go through in the actual service, but it'll give you some other things to look at and allow God to plant seeds. Everybody say, plant seeds. All right. Let me get a drink here real quick. That's the way you had a drink in God. Amen. I would have finished it, but then I'd have nothing. So, okay. The series we're in is called Be Free. I better say Be Free. And it's been a very interesting journey for me and even folks that I've got in conversation with along the way about what the Lord is showing us in this series. And it's fascinating to me because I'm one that I was raised in church my whole life. Some of you may have been like that. Some of you may not have been like that. On one hand, I'm fortunate. I'm glad that I was raised in church because it gave me a bearing. And, the Word of God says, raise up a child according to his bend, and when he's older, he won't depart from it. Well, the way you can raise him up according to his bend is you get to know what his bend is from the Lord, right? And at least in my upbringing, at least, as much as I may not have liked it, I've heard people say this, that they had a drug problem when they were a kid. I had a drug problem too. I got drugged to church every Sunday. And but at least I, when I went off and did my own thing, at least I had an idea of where to come back to after I've completely botched up my life. Amen? Which I'm appreciative of that. And I honestly think this. I think that everyone has to allow the Lord to show them what their journey is. We can't exist on our parents' journey. And nothing thrills me more than to see even our own kids discovering these things for themselves. But in this series called Be Free, we're going to do a lot of unhitching, let's say unhinging you or uprooting you from the familiar. Everybody say the familiar. The familiar, most of the time, is what goes on between your own two ears. If I can mention a verse and I'll start the verse and you can finish it, that means that verse is familiar to you. But how many know that just because a verse is familiar in your mental faculties doesn't mean you're reaping the harvest of what that verse wants to give you? And I think so much of what we have experienced as Christians, and I love the fact that I see this changing. I see the culture in the local church changing. I see the desires and what people are willing to settle for changing. But for a lot of the time we've called church, we just kind of come to a building, we sit in a chair, and we ask somebody, give me something. But then you look at Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they're just waiting for Sunday for somebody else to give them something. When a human being was never designed to function that way. You know, yes, we need to honor what the New Testament calls the fivefold ministry, but there is a culture that we have allowed to become local church that is, I come, I sit, you give. But if you look at the writings of Paul from the Spirit of God, that wasn't the culture at all that the local church was supposed to be at all. He said, when you come, each of you has. Now, I was still submitted to the pastor of that local church, but people didn't just come to sit and give me something. People came because it was, and what they offered and what they gave during the service was an outpouring of what they invested their life in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Somewhere along the way, we got this, it was probably from the Dark Ages, we got this idea that we got nothing, you got everything, I'm going to come into your presence, sit down, and you give it to me. Well, that's because people were trained that way. You can't possibly understand this Bible, you need to come here and let me tell you what it says. But how many know that's not the real gospel? Nor is the gospel, well, I don't need you, I'm just going to stay home and do my own thing. That's not the gospel either. Everybody, you know, people that have declared Jesus as Lord and He's showed Himself to them and they've recognized that and He's put His Holy Spirit in them. He's given them the same Spirit that He is, and He did that so that He could download to you everything that He thinks and everything that He sees. But I find it fascinating that even in your New Testament it says that where you're brought into perfection comes from the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You can't reach that level unless you submit to those influences. He did that on purpose. So I love the way He's balanced it. He's given all of us the Spirit of God so that we might freely know those things that are freely given to us. But He also wants you to submit yourself up under what He calls the fivefold ministry that came from Jesus, set in place by Jesus, so that from each of those streams, so to speak, you can come up into and reach the perfection of the head. Amen? So, I think it's man that's pretty much twisted that whole thing up. But we don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. Let's just get it right and let's live in the right system, and it's prosperous and a blessing to us, right? So this series is called To Be Free, and Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse 31, I believe it is. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You'll know the logic of my Father from A to Z. I don't know about you, but I'm going to spend the rest of my life becoming familiar with the logic of the Father, A to Z. Right? He says if you'll do that, then that environment will cause you to be free. Not something you strive for, not something, you know, as far as, you know, I'm working, I'm trying. It's a certain environment. In verse 31 again, he says, so Jesus was saying to those who were newly coming to the place of recognizing that what he was saying was absolutely right and is absolutely the truth. He says, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. If you continue in my logic, if you continue in my logic and my father's logic, the way we think, the way we see things from A to Z, then you're truly going to be disciples of mine. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can look in Isaiah chapter 50. Because Isaiah chapter 50, and this is all review, Isaiah chapter 50 describes when Jesus uses the term disciple, what he was referring to. We have all kinds of versions of that today in the modern man-made religion. Everything from, you got to memorize the entire Bible to, you know, whatever else. Go knock on doors or go ride your bicycle down the street and wear a certain outfit and, you know, talk to people a certain many times a day. I mean, it's, you know, we've made disciple be everything under the sun. But when Jesus said, if you'll continue in my word, if you continue in my logic and my vantage point A to Z, you'll truly be my disciples, he was referring to what Isaiah, by the Spirit of God, referenced in Isaiah 50, where he said, I think it's around verse 4, he said, you cause my ear to hear. You wake me up in the morning and you cause my ear to hear, and you give me the tongue of a disciple to speak to the weary one. In other words, a disciple is one who has learned how to see and hear what is coming from the Spirit of God and pass that on to other people. We talked about that. We said that human beings were created, every human being on the planet was created to see what God sees and hear what God's saying. You know, when it's interesting that the scripture that gets so misquoted, it seems like, I don't know if it's quoting or if it's just a misunderstanding, that when Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. You probably, in your lifetime, probably heard that verse at least once. And, you know, we've made it say, and this comes from the religion of man, we've made it say, you can't get to God but through Jesus. That is not at all what he meant. At all. Everybody say, at all. Now you got to say it with some attitude. At all. He was saying, I have the sole distribution rights of who Father is. If you want to see who Father is, look at me. If you're looking at me, you're seeing who Father is even right now. He gave those distribution rights to those that recognize who he is. He in turn gave his Spirit and put his Spirit on the inside of those who recognize who he is. They have become one spirit with him. And it's almost like you got a new modem. It's amazing how fast technology has advanced in the last 20 years. I don't feel like I've been here that long, but I guess I've been in Phoenix for what, 30 years? Yeah, my wife doesn't want to talk about it. It doesn't seem it's been that long, but I remember when I came to town, I think it was like the dial-up was going on. Yeah. You know, with the weird sounds and everything. And now we got instant internet right now. Well, you know, we're designed as human beings to have the instant connection right now with everything Father's thinking right now. We got so trained in our man-made theological religions to think that nothing really starts until you're dead. Once you're out of here, that's when it starts. But that's not really true. That comes from a natural mind who's disconnected from anything that is eternal. Because the reality of it is even right now, while I'm sitting here, there's an eternal realm right here, right now. In fact, in that eternal realm, there are angels that are right here, right now. Whether your physical eyes see them or not, that doesn't mean they're not here. Right? Jesus tried to explain it to Nicodemus one time. He said, look, let me talk to you about the natural man and who I am. He said, I only speak of the things that I hear and see. We speak about the things we're familiar with. But you don't really understand those things because you're a natural man. He says, if I, you know, you may see what the wind does, but you don't see where it comes from or you don't see where it's going. But in contrast, that's the way the spiritual man, he sees where the wind comes from, is coming from, and he sees where it's going. In other words, he says, we recognize where the Spirit of God, what he wants to do in any particular situation. We know when he shows up, when he always, the presence rolls into a room, and we know when he's gone. He said, in fact, to help blow your mind even more, he says, you really can't even discern the kingdom of God unless you're born from your origin. We've called it being born again or being reborn or the new birth. But literally what he said in the Aramaic is, you, in order for you to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born from your origin, which tells us that you as a human being, before your identity was your mom or your dad or some natural human being, your identity was him. I said your identity was him. I grew up in church my whole entire life, and not one single person ever told me that. Not one. You know why? Because they didn't know it either. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, this is in the Passion Translation, says, verse 10 says this, but God now reveals these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he's revealed to us his innermost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. And again, remember last week we said that the Spirit of God is constantly exploring all that Father knows and sees, right? Why is he constantly exploring those things? Because his job is to pass those things on to you. I'm telling you, this thing is a whole lot bigger than the little Bible story book we got when we were a kid. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12 in the Passion Translation says this, lovers of God have been given eyes to see with spiritual discernment and ears to hear from God. He goes on to say in Proverbs 20, verse 27 in the Passion Translation, that the Spirit of God breathed into man. He's like a living lamp, a shining light. This is talking about the spirit of man. The spirit of man is like a living lamp or a shining light that searches into the innermost chambers of our being. What is your spirit searching for? Your spirit is searching for all those things that the Spirit of God is constantly exploring. Let's look at that again. The Spirit of God breathed into man. His Spirit is a living lamp, a shining light, searching into the innermost chambers of your being. What is he looking for? He's looking for all those things the Holy Spirit is constantly exploring. I'm going to say it again. This thing is a whole lot bigger than a little Bible story book you got when you were a kid. What would happen if, well, first of all, let me ask you this. How does an individual come to the place where they recognize Jesus is who he says he is? Is it just because they said so? Is it because the Spirit of God opened their vantage point to heaven's perspectives and they actually see that he really is who he says he is? You know, I used to have an issue. I'll just be honest with you. I used to have an issue with people who wanted to be religious, but they didn't want to acknowledge who Jesus was. And then I was reminded of a story. You remember the disciples? Let me ask you, the disciples before Jesus went to the cross, who were they? You don't have to name by name. I'm not asking you to be that good, but they were just natural dudes, right? They would just walk around with him and they'd follow him around, and so much of the time, you know, he'd say something, they'd be like, I don't have a clue what he just said. Let's act like we know what he said. Let's just nod your head yes, and he'll never. And of course, he always knew, and they didn't know. And he explained things to them, but they were just natural people. Now, let me ask you: do you think every single one of those knew he was the son of, knew he was who he said he was? No. But they followed him around. So if it's okay for them to follow Jesus around and they don't really believe who he says he is until that one day where the Spirit of God breathed upon their understanding, opened their vantage point to heaven's perspectives, and all of a sudden, bam, they realize he really is who he says he is. But you notice he didn't have any issues with them following them around, him around. In fact, he said, I picked you. You didn't pick me. I picked you, and you still don't believe who I am. But he didn't vote him off the island. Right? So when you run into people out there in the world that are, you know, they're on their journey, and they may say, you know, I just don't believe Jesus is who he says he is, then our response should be, you know what, that's perfectly fine. But I'll tell you this, just hang around with him. You know, one day he'll show you who he is. And when he does, just give me a call. But until then, you know, that's fine. Just hang around him. Just hang around with him. You know. I heard somebody else say it like this, you know, just go home and ask him what it looks like for you to be his friend. You know, pretty simple. But every human being was designed to be connected, live connected with him. And he's looking for the opportunity to show them, to open up their vantage point to heaven's perspectives and show them who he is. But, you know, let's not be religious about it and say, well, if you don't say who he is, you can't hang around with me. Right? That's just nothing but religion. Okay. So, the Holy Spirit is constantly exploring all things. Your spirit is a living lamp, a shining light, searching into the innermost chambers of your being, and you're looking for all those things the Holy Spirit has been searching out. What if we would train people up from the moment they got a glimpse of who Jesus is and they recognized that, and the Spirit of God took him out of the kingdom of darkness, put him into the kingdom of life. What if from day one, instead of them trying to fight off or trying to be a good person or trying to do the right things or trying to, you know, fill in the blank, what if we just simply began to train them on how to recognize open doors, the narrow gates? Remember last week? The narrow gates that most people ignore because they're so insignificant that you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't, unless you were trained to recognize them, you wouldn't recognize them and you just go on living life. Because really, that's what should be taking place. People should be learning how to, as your New Testament says it, recognize the open doors. Those moments when, say, you're talking to somebody, or let's just say it's just you. Let's just say that you are looking for ideas on something, or let's say you're looking for some wisdom on how to handle something, or let's say you're looking for a new way to do something or a more efficient way to do something on your job or whatever. And let's say that you follow what the Word of God says to do, and you say, okay, you know what, Lord, just show me, can you show me? Show me another better way to do this, a more efficient way to do this. And you go about your business, and then, you know, the next time you're doing that particular thing, let's say that just this brief glimpse of something, you see it inside, like in your mind's eye, just a real brief, like that. So brief that you, if you're not paying attention, you probably wouldn't even notice. That's the narrow gate. That's the open door. That's the light that's shining that he wants you. If you catch it and you'll act on it, it'll produce the result you've been looking for. See, every human being was created to recognize that and be that connected to him. I wish that in my growing up years, going to church houses, I wish that from the moment I came into the kingdom of God, I wish that their understanding was that they begin to develop me in learning how to recognize the open doors, recognize the narrow gates that are so narrow that most people just ignore them because they're used to just following a system that they can see or they can hear, and your New Testament calls that the wide path, but that usually leads to destruction. See, it wasn't talking about eternity. Those verses weren't talking about eternity. Those verses were talking about learning how to live as the new man from the place of revelation. I like this saying, there's an entirely new way to be human. An entirely new reality breaking into the old one of death and dying. That's a quote out of the book that when we talked about the thousand risks. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, it's described of Jesus when he came on the scene. This is an Old Testament quote. It's referenced again here in Matthew chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Is that the people who are sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. Everybody say, a light dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I love the thought process that describes what the word repent means, because the religion of man, the mental religion of man, pretty much defines repent as you need to fall on your face, cry, bawl, and squall, and thrash around, and really mean it. You know, you got to be sorry and really mean it. That's what it's been kind of laid out there as to me. But from the mind of the Spirit of God, I think it's interesting that if you look at the word repent, the word re means to do something over again, and the word pent means to return to speaking of the top floor. You ever heard of the penthouse? Where is it located? The top floor. So when he says repent, he's saying you need to go back to the top. Be restored back to the top. You could say it like this: be restored back to your original identity, because the kingdom of God is at hand, or it's even as I'm speaking right now. What if all the local churches in a city had this revelation that the kingdom of God is right here, right now? What if all of those people that were ever a part of a local church, what if everybody who names themselves by the name of the Lord right now has the revelation, and it dawns on them, the light dawns on them, that the kingdom of heaven is right now as I'm speaking? That puts a whole lot of power at your disposal. Would that change the way we think? Would it change the way we interact with other people? Would it change anything in the way we've constructed our life as routine? Surely it would. Your New Testament describes the kingdom being at hand as all, it's described as a light dawning, a narrow gate that we are to discover, an open door that we're to walk through, and other places it also describes it as a fountain. We're talking about, I think it's John chapter 3, I believe it is, or John chapter 4, and then also in John chapter 7. One place he describes the kingdom of God as a well on the inside of you. How many know wells are stagnant? But actually they're not. They seem like they are, but they're actually not, because the more you draw out of them, what does it do? The water level keeps coming up. It keeps being restored. Unless you got a dead well, and that sucks. But it's described as a fountain in John chapter 7. It goes from being a well to a fountain. Why? Because in John chapter 7, he says, if you drink of me, it'll become a fountain that wells up. So we have to make a demand. Everybody say, place a demand. We have to place a demand on the kingdom of God for it to become a fountain in us. So the kingdom of God being at hand, the kingdom of God being right here, right now, those that are his disciples that have trained themselves or allowed themselves to be trained to hear and to speak what he's giving them in moments, they're placing a demand. They're drinking of the fountain, and it becomes a they're drinking of the well, and it becomes a fountain that will supply constantly. So it's described as a light dawning, a narrow gate that you need to locate, an open door that you need to walk through, and a fountain that wells up. Notice it's interesting in Matthew. If you look at the book or the letter that Matthew wrote, he starts at the place where Jesus makes a declaration. He says it's written that man should not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? Man's to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then some kind of way we get so distracted in the subject that we start reading this and we go off in this direction and we start reading something else farther down in Matthew and we go off in another direction and pretty soon we forgot where we started. We started Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that said, man is designed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So everything that he's describing from this place forward is living from that every word that's coming out of the mouth of God all the time. That's the fountain. That's the light. That's the open door. That's the narrow gate that if we don't train ourselves to recognize it, we'll walk right past it and we'll be looking for the broad place, but that's what everybody sees. But that place, you know, Judges says it like this, there's a way that seems right to a man because it's the broad place and this looks right, it feels right, it's what everybody's doing, this must be right. But the end result of that decision will always produce destruction, it will never produce life. That man wasn't designed to be guided by that external guidance system. He was designed to be connected internally and get his backdoor instructions and backdoor leadings from what is put in his spirit with the Spirit of God. That's where to recognize the open door, to recognize, I don't know how many inventions have been invented on this planet from people who God just gave them a brief glimpse of something. Oh, and they did it, and it works. And now it's in humanity. That's the way it's designed to be, that transition, that transaction from what heaven knows to what to you. Now, the Passion Translation says it like this, true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from the mouth of God. True life is found in every word that constantly goes forth in the mouth of God. Now, in these verses, I'll just for the sake of time, let's just move forward. So that Matthew 4 was the starting point. Man is designed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This next verse is probably the most ignored verse ever in the entire New Testament. Well, it's a tie between this one and Mark 11, 23 and 24. Why is that? Because these two verses are rooted in the unseen, which you're not, as a natural human being, you're not trained to live there unless you allow yourself to be trained to live there. Because the natural response to these verses, and this verse is simply, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 is simply built on the foundation of Matthew 4, 4. Everything is built on the foundation of Matthew 4, 4. If we went all the way from chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, all the way through, it's all, everything Jesus is saying is built on what he said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Man is designed to live by every word that's constantly coming out of the mouth of Father. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, we've seen these verses before. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, they will be opened. And somebody reads that and says, that ain't true. I did this or that and nothing happened. Well, look at that verse a little closer. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek. And you'll find, knock and it will be open. But then he clarifies in verse 8, for everyone who asks, receives. It's not a one-time ask. It's a constant, present tense, ongoing constant in your life. You're putting pressure on these verses, constantly ongoing all the time. That means you never do this. Well, this stuff isn't working. I tried this 50 times and it ain't working yet, so forget it. It must not be true. That's not a constant ongoing, is it? But that's what most people do. That's why this verse is so ignored. Well, I tried that 3 times, it didn't work. Well, I tried that 10 times, it didn't work. Well, why don't you let it be a part of your life forever and then see if it works? See, we got this idea that we can just step in and out of the reality of who you really are and where you're really rooted and just kind of, well, I'm just going to live my natural life, my natural self. You can do that if you want to, but he never created for you to do that. And when he's talking about these things, Jesus didn't just try these things. This is where he lived. Right? So, you move on from there in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. He's still talking about the same thing. In fact, let me just finish this up. Chapter, verse 8. Everyone who's constantly asking is constantly receiving. And anyone who's constantly seeking is constantly finding. And him who's constantly knocking, everybody say constantly. Why? Because you're trying it? No, because it's who you are now. Him who's constantly knocking is constantly being opened. Now, is this verse true or not? Is it true because you've made it true in your life, or is it true just because somebody told you it was? See, therein lies the challenge, isn't it? We live in theory. We've been comfortable settling in on theory what somebody else says. Folks, you can't live on somebody else's experience. You can't live on anybody else's experience. You have to allow God to give you the experience, and then it solidifies the truth of what these verses are saying in your life, and then you stop applying these things as hobbies. Because they're not designed to work as hobbies, they're designed to become you. But notice what he said. So he says, everyone who's asking is receiving. Everybody's just constantly knocking. It's constantly, the door is constantly being opened. He moves on from there in verse chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 13 and 14. Now he's talking about that open door, that narrow gate. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. But, verse 14, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few that find it. I find it fascinating that growing up, the only thing people understood this verse to mean was you got to receive Jesus so you can go to heaven because the way is narrow. That isn't even close to what he's talking about here. He's talking about recognizing those open doors and those narrow gates on the inside of you that leads you into your future or leads you into the manifestation of his life in the here and now. But he said, he's describing it as a narrow gate because he's trying to get people to understand, look, if you're going to govern your life based on solely what you see with your physical eyes and what you hear with your natural ears and your feelings, and you're going to miss those brief moments that may just come as a glimpse. It may just come as a thought. It may just come as just an impression. You're going to completely ignore those things. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, it was just me? So they blew it off. You just walked right past your narrow gate. Well, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know you didn't? You don't, because you're still living in theory land. The way you learn these things is you walk through those doors and you find out what happens. You make notes on those things and you learn the next time around. See, but the key is you're acknowledging Him. What does the Word say? In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your steps. That direction could be just a random thought, could just be a glimpse, could be a picture, could be you just had this thought in your head. He could have said words. It could have been any number of ways that he opens that door. He shows you, he's trying to get you to go through that narrow gate. He's trying to get you to take a drink of that fountain that's flowing. What's flowing? It's him. It's him. See, we were all created. See, what would happen if every church in this city knew how to function right here, right in this place, like that? What would happen? I promise you, people would be running to Jesus in droves because they would be experiencing Him everywhere any of those people were. Matthew 7:14 in the Passion Translation says, the narrow gate is the difficult way. It leads to eternal life. The eternal life is the manifestation. Let's break it down into practical terms. The manifestation could be the idea He gave you, it works. And somebody's willing to pay you for that. How many know broke is an eternal life? Let me say that again, because there's some doubt in the room. How many know that broke is not eternal life? Barren is not eternal life. It doesn't represent the life of God at all. Somebody said broke, busted, and disgusted. None of that stuff represents the eternal life. How many people do you know that they're looking and searching for their future? They're wanting to know what their plan is, what his plan for their life is, and he's just trying to get them to be trained to learn how to recognize the open door. If you'll learn how to do that, he'll take you into your future. When I was a kid, it was always said, so devilish. It was always said, well, if you want to do it, it's not him. That's so twisted. Because your Bible says that he puts desires in your heart and then he gives you the desires of your heart when you walk out those desires. What is he doing? That's the open door. That's the narrow gate. That's the fountain. That's the light shining. That is, it's your spirit searching for all those things that the Holy Spirit is constantly searching out. What is he searching out? He's searching out all those things that have to do with you in the mind of Father, and he wants to transfer those to you and get you to walk those things out. Folks, there are natural people. I'm going to say it like this. There are natural people that have done incredible things on this planet. And it I get so choked up. They're doing incredible things on the planet, and it all started with a thought. Pastor, are you saying that people don't need Jesus? I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that a human being is wired to be one spirit with him. And what we don't seem to understand in the religious community is that there are angels all over the place, and they're constantly speaking into the ear of people. If they can't be led by their spirit, then the angelic can lead them. And as long as it lines up with what the Word of God is revealing as far as what the kingdom of God is, there are folks that they don't know that Jesus is the one that dropped that desire in them to start an entire television network. There are people that have started entire empires in business that they didn't even realize that the thought that came to them, that was their calling, that was their assignment in the marketplace, and God gave them an idea, and he showed them how to develop that idea, and it blew up into what it is right now. That was, from eternity, that was their place to walk. Jesus would just make it better. Because he'll show you ways to do things that nobody's even thought about. I feel like there's music that hasn't even been written yet because somebody needs to pay attention. You guys get anything out of this? Yeah. For the sake of time, let me jump forward. Psalm chapter 36, verse 9 again says this: "With you is the fountain of life, and your light in your light we see light." See, every one of these things is talking about the transfer of revelation from heaven to here. His light will always lead you to the fountain that is life. It produces life. Let me give you an example. You remember that story where Peter was on the rooftop and Peter was hungry? And he was up there and it was about lunchtime. How many know that story could have been a whole lot different? It says that when he was up there on the roof, he fell into a trance. And it says, when I fixed my gaze on it, I saw four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beasts of the craving and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice say to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy is unclean has ever entered my mouth." What was he speaking from? He was speaking from his religious training. There are so many people around the world that Jesus is trying to give them a new thought, but they keep running back to their religious training. The story goes on to say that a voice from heaven answered a second time. Aren't you glad he didn't just shut up and say, "Well, fine, be out your way"? But a voice from heaven answered a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times, and everything was drawn back into the sky. And behold, at the moment, three men appeared at the house at the front door, which they were staying, where he was staying, having been sent from Caesarea. So he's on the roof having a vision. He's pretty hungry. The story could have gone like this. Man, I need to eat more often, man, because every time I get hungry, I have these weird dreams. I get these visions. I gotta cut this out. And he could have went downstairs and said, "Hey, man, is lunch ready yet? I need it bad." And the three guys would have been there, and he said, "Yeah, who are you?" And they would have told him their story, and he would have said, "Well, you know what? I don't associate with anybody that's not Jewish, so I'm sorry you made the trip, but have a nice trip back. I'm going to eat lunch." The story could have gone that way. I realize it's a little absurd, but it could have gone that way. If he was walking his own natural thought processes, he could have completely ignored the vision, even though it was a trance and his physical senses were suspended, so it was like he was a captive audience. But that's because God had to get over to him the truth about whom I have declared holy, don't you declare unholy. I wish the church had got that message nowadays. Did you catch what I just said? But you notice what happens is, first of all, your scripture says he sat back and he was pondering the vision, and the Holy Spirit began to explain it to him. And then he went downstairs and saw the three men. So the revelation, what the Spirit of God just showed him, how many know that's revelation from heaven? How many know him going with the three men, he was acting on what he got? Right? So he gets there, and he told the guys, he said, "Hey, the Spirit just told me to go without you without misgivings," because the Spirit told him they were there. He had no idea they were down there. But the Spirit of God told them they were there and said, in addition, go with them without having any misgivings. Why? Because I just told you who I've declared holy, don't you declare unholy. So he acted on the revelation that he got, and they went back to visit Caesarea and their boss, Cornelius. And he's describing what happened here, and he says, you know, I entered their house, and I'm filling in the blanks here because it's not on your screen. I entered their house, and Cornelius introduced himself. He explained to me what happened to him, the vision he saw, the fact that he saw an angel, and the angel said, send some men to Joppa to get a man named Simon, which was me. You'll find him at this address. I don't know whether you realize this, but he actually told the guy where he lived. But yet somehow we think, oh, he doesn't do that anymore. Yeah, he does. That's the very level of revelation that he's wanting us to expect and to develop into. He'll give you names, he'll give you addresses, he'll give you all of that. I really hate what religious Christianity has done to the gospel. It's completely emasculated. But the reality of the gospel is he'll give you those details. These guys, I mean, Cornelius wasn't even... Was he born from above? No. He was a Roman. But he loved God. So God said, "You love me, I love you, so let me give you some more information." So he goes there, he enters the house, and he's describing to them, he said, while I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just like it did on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord. Now, what was that? That was revelation. That was the transfer of revelation from heaven to earth. That was the open door. That was the narrow gate. He recognized it. I remembered the word of the Lord and how he used to say, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So what did he do? When he recognized the open door, he recognized the narrow gate, he said, there's no problem with them being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they all did. Now he could have missed that, and he could have said, "No, that was just me," and they never would have gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, through that, I had this thought, I remembered, And I acted on it, and then this is what happened. The Holy Spirit came upon them like He did on us. He could have stopped the whole thing, but not recognizing that narrow gate, the open door, the remembering. Oh, I remembered. It was a thought. Something so insignificant that He could have just blew it off and thought, well, that was just me. But He said, therefore, if God has given to them the same gift as He gave to us, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in God's way? And it goes on to say in other places that God opened the door for faith to the Gentiles, or the non-Jewish nations. God opened the door. Everybody say, open the door. He opened the door for faith to come through. How many know faith is the, Hebrews 11, faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith doesn't come from you, it comes from Him. It is designed to communicate to you what belongs to you. Right? I'm going to skip way, way fast forward here. I always put way more notes in here than I actually need. Which is fine, because I mean, I never know actually where I'm going, per se. Notice this, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7. It says, if you do what I say, you will live well. Guard your life. Let me say guard. Guard your life with my revelation truth. Guard your life with my revelation truth, for my teaching is as precious as your eyesight. Now let me break that down for you. This series is all about you learning how to allow yourself to be trained in recognizing revelation from heaven. When I was younger, I was dating an individual that, you know, I was pretty good. I mean, you know, it beats being alone. Hey, man, that's the motive for a lot of them. Anyway, I was by myself at my apartment, and, you know, I already knew this isn't it, but I kind of wanted it to be it because I didn't want to be alone. But this one particular day, I'm sitting there, and I didn't fall into a trance, so it wasn't that massive of a deal, but it was so clear to me because it was a knowing, and the Lord spoke to me and said, she's coming over right now, and when she comes over, you're going to break it off. I didn't know she was coming over. That wasn't in our plans. We hadn't talked about anything. Sure enough, she came in, and that was my confirmation. Oh, crap, I got to do this. But, and there's so much I want to tell you along these lines. We'll get into it later in the series. But because of the fact that He had revealed to me revelation from heaven, and I acted on it, He was guarding my life. See, here's the challenge, guys. When we get so comfortable leading just rooted in natural stuff, we pay attention to our feelings, we pay attention, not that feelings are wrong, but if they're not trained, they're going to lead you in the wrong direction. We pay attention to what our natural eyes are showing us and what our natural mind is thinking, natural thought processes. All of our friends say this, that, and the other, and so we just kind of gravitate towards that thought process. What is all of that? That's just living natural life. The challenge is, if we don't allow ourselves to be trained by revelation from heaven, you're living unguarded. You realize that if I had not made that decision to break it off when He told me to break it off, I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. You wouldn't be sitting there, and I wouldn't even know who my wife is. nor would I have the two great kids I got. If you guys are watching, okay. But none of that would exist. So when we train ourselves to be trained by learning how to recognize revelation, recognize direction from heaven, whether it's a thought, a glimpse, an impulse, I mean, an impression, those things, when we allow ourselves from His Word, first and foremost, to be trained to recognize those things more and more efficiently, He's setting up guards in our life to guard our life from the broad path. Okay? Does that make sense? So He says, guard your life with My revelation truth, for My teaching is precious as your eyesight. In fact, I'll go one step further than that. He wants it to become your eyesight. And I'll close with this. I brought this out to your attention last week, this verse. This is how He wants to govern. This is how He wants to teach you to live your life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 20. The Passion Translation says, as by His divine revelation, He broke open the hidden fountains of the deep. Everybody say, hidden fountains. If you are a child of the King, if you are a child of the King of the universe, if you are one spirit with Him, if He has revealed to you who Jesus is, and He actually is who He says He is, and you have become one spirit with Him, He wants you to become one mind with Him, and He wants you to become one flesh with Him. When you do that, He has put His secret fountain on the inside of you. It's your spirit. It's in your spirit. It's that transaction of Holy Spirit searching all these things out and your spirit searching those things that He's searching. Notice that in His revelation, He opened the hidden fountains of the deep. Now, He's talking about natural things, but the spiritual mirrors the natural because the natural actually mirrors the spiritual. He opened the hidden fountains of the deep, bringing secret springs to the surface as the mist of the night dripped down from heaven. I want you to think about that for a minute. He designed this system not only naturally. Originally, the earth was watered from underneath. But where did man come from? It's not a trick question. Where did man come from? He came from the earth. So therefore, man is designed to be watered from the inside out too. He's simply telling you in his wisdom, His divine revelation, He broke open not only the natural hidden fountains of the deep to water the natural earth, but that's the same exact system that He's designed for a human being to function from. Now what have we done? We've come all the way back to Matthew 4:4. Man is designed to live by every secret spring that comes to the surface or proceeds out of this constant proceeding out of the mouth of God. In the midst of all your mess, in the midst of all your dark, in the midst of everything that seems dark around you, He's designed you to live from that secret spring that's on the inside of you. But you got to do it with Him because He wants to teach you and train you how to live in revelation. Anybody get anything from this? Yeah. I'm telling you, I feel like I'm going really slow on this because there's a whole lot more that's here that I'm not getting to yet. But it's absolutely amazing, and I believe that once we get there, it's gonna answer a lot of questions for you. It's gonna answer a lot of questions about scriptures that you've seen all your life, but they didn't make any sense. It's going to answer a lot of questions about things that you were taught about theological concepts that you stepped out and tried them and it didn't seem to work. It's because the keys to all of those things are in this series. And they all come from this place of learning how to recognize the open door, the narrow gate, the light, the river. revelation. Everybody stand up. Father, we just praise you, we bless you, we love you. I just ask that you, whether they're in this room or they're within the sound of my voice, I just ask you to open their vantage point to your perspectives. Maybe it's somebody that, you know, hey, I've done the whole church thing and I'm done with that. Well, can I just be honest with you, brother, sister, I'm with you on that one. But Father, I just ask that you draw their hearts into your heart and begin to show them that you're bigger than print on a page. You're bigger than some theological idea. You're bigger than somebody's perspective. But every single human being that's either in this room or within the sound of my voice, draw them into your heart and show them they were created to live in that place of flow of revelation from you to them. Their best future is directly connected to them allowing you to train them to recognize it. I would ask that if there's any of those individuals that maybe they've disconnected, maybe they've just said, you know what, I'm done. They've been hurt. Just ask that you just heal that hurt. But I'll say it like this too. We also recognize that every human being has a choice they have to make. We're either going to stay on the sidelines or we're going to get back in the game. Father, I know there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in this city alone that are living on the sidelines that have stayed there because it's safe, it's comfortable, but it's time to get back in the game. It's time to learn this thing the right way. It's time to learn how to walk one step with you. And I ask that you draw their hearts into yours and you cause them to come back. Because whether they realize it or not, their greatest days are ahead of them as they become more efficient and more proficient in learning how to recognize that transaction of revelation from heaven to earth into them. And Father, we just thank you right now for all the people. We love them. We bless them. We declare them blessed, and we declare that, like the old song said, there ain't nobody do you like Jesus. We just ask that you make it so, and we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.